This week on Thrill Me Weekly, big times for Marvel Studios. We'll get into that. Also, Reality Bites with this chica. She's got some things down the pike that are happening. We also have Suplex and Heal. Is it Heal and Suplex? What's the show called?
Suplex and Heal.
I don't even know my own show. All that and more on Thrill Me Weekly. Let's go! I'm sizzling because I am redder than Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Your skin is looking like your hat.
It's yeah. That's, I gotta say, though, it's so matchy.
It's so matchy.
It is so matchy. Welcome to Thrill Me Weekly. I am Zachary J. Hilton, the final People's Champ boss, and this is Baruch.
That's me.
That's her. And the guy on the other screen is Review It Rob.
That's me, the ROB. So wait a minute, you're the final boss, so that means you beat the Undertaker final, who beat The Rock.
I'm the final people's boss. That's a completely different thing.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm the guy that could just make the drink.
The people's margarita.
The people's margarita. So the reason why this happened is Cinco de Mayo is actually next week.
I know.
Wild. Wow. Because I just feel like time is sneaking up on me.
April flew by.
Flew by.
It did.
I don't know what happened, but April was like wham bam thank you ma'am.
It did. It did go wham. It did say bam and it said thank you ma'am. Oh, but so we picked up Terramana because soon, it was on sale, huh?
Soon. It's gonna be May.
Claps. Golf claps. Golf claps.
You did it. So
she's just got that extra crimp in her hair, so it kind of is starting to transform into the Justin hair a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have noodle hair in no time.
So this is actually the natural. This is my, I didn't do my hair look.
Don't care.
So, yeah. You know? Yeah. And it works well in the summer because it's like beach hair. So
don't care.
Yeah. There you go.
And like, I'm only saying don't care because that's what all those monikers and stuff say.
Uh-huh.
Hi. Welcome to Thrill Me Weekly. Big jam-packed week, in my opinion, because we have some anniversary things to talk about as well as coming soon products. We get into Reality Bites, where I feel like it's been kind of wild on at least current show watching that we're doing. Yeah. And then, like we said, Suplex and Heel. We have some wrestling news to get into. So let's start off with entertainment news. This week is
Timeout. Brooke has to hit the music.
You're absolutely right. Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brooke, hit the music.
Dun 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 dun.
It changes.
See?
So often. Good
it
job.
It just adds that extra flavor.
Yeah, a little pizzazz to what we're talking about.
Yes.
So this week is the anniversary week. I think it was April 27th, which is yesterday.
Yep.
Yesterday was the fifth anniversary for a little movie called Avengers Endgame. And someone
changed my life.
Changed all our lives. I mean, we left that theater wildly. Like our experience, if you've never watched and we've never talked about it, we saw it with a group of friends, Justin from Core Memory Unlocked and Leanne, his wife. We watched that in theater. Even Teen Hilton came with us.
Yeah.
And we left, got to the parking lot, and did a group hug.
We did.
Oh, wow.
We did a group hug.
It was
hug.
Like not even like a spoken like we should hug or like goodbye. Because like, we were hanging out afterwards. We purposely made time to hang out afterwards because we didn't when we watched
something.
It wasn't Endgame, it was the one
Infinity War we didn't see with them.
I thought we did.
No, it was just you, me, and team.
Oh, okay. Well, we watched something with them and we did not give ourselves no time.
Yeah, we have to talk about these things.
Yeah, we embraced.
And what a wonderful experience. And it's funny because you do look at like that movie specifically because it is an event of how people act in theater, how much anticipation for it is coming. That movie really did for Marvel. It encapsulated an entire 10-year journey, 10 plus at that point. But I still get goosebumps thinking about seeing that movie
and being able
to see that movie. Rob, I know you, being a DC guy, you know, you did have love going for this movie, but what was your experience about seeing Endgame?
Like, it's like you said, it was that 10-year buildup to where you want to see how everything goes, especially after seeing Infinity War. You're like, okay, how are they getting out of this?
Right.
See how they finish this up. So I was excited going in, and I haven't watched it. I saw it 3 times in theaters. I haven't watched it since, to be honest.
Oh, really?
No, I mean,
it's
on record. I don't watch Marvel that much.
I know.
And I like the movie. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoy that movie. It's top tier Marvel content for sure.
Right.
But yeah, I remember seeing it, getting emotional during it and all that, because they did a good job building it out. Like that process that they took to build all of those movies, say what you want about certain films, it worked.
Right.
Like those Avenger films just work. And when they came back and they finished that story, good on them. That's why they're kind of having trouble now, is they got to figure that out again. But they did fantastic to me.
Yeah.
I still think of certain scenes
of that still get me. Like, there still will be scenes that I think of that'll get me, that I'm like, yeah, that was well done.
Yeah. Right. Are you planning on watching it this week with the 5-year?
Maybe.
He doesn't.
I don't really plan on it. No, it's not planned.
It was a curiosity. For me, I would be very interested to see how essentially it held up for him, because we've seen
I've watched it at least 8 times.
At least.
I can guarantee. And the wild part about the movie, when you really look at it, at the beginning of the movie where they go after Thanos on that planet, and then those words come up 5 years later. We're in 5 years later.
Yeah.
Now we're there.
Oh, yeah.
The time has elapsed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Rob has to watch it now. In that kind of vein.
Right? What's going to hurt is I'm going to watch that, and I'm like, I got to watch Spider-Man now.
You know? Yeah. Got to.
Oh, I'll always watch No Way Home. Oh. But yeah, no, I love the movie still. I do plan on watching it. Hopefully we can squeeze that in together.
But how do you feel about all these rumors of certain characters coming back that were taken care of, if you will, in those movies?
I don't like it. I think they're all rumors. I will say this. I think they're all rumors. I do think there's chances, and we'll jump into it with this. This week, Deadpool and Wolverine released a trailer. And the trailer, I think, personally, bar none, better than the first one. Like, I think the first one was perfect tease. But the fact that they figured out how to meld Deadpool's world with a Logan-type scenario, because there's obviously going to be that drama that comes with Wolverine. The trailer obviously gives this whole TVA situation that we get with Loki. We're getting all the different worlds and such like that. And I think it's teasing. In the comics, there is a battle world that eventually this is going to end with Avengers Secret Wars. I agree. I don't want to see Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
Right.
But if this big multiverse world wants to give me Tom Cruise as Iron Man in this world, okay, I'll watch that. If Tobey Maguire is coming back to play Spider-Man again in that one, sure, I'll watch that. I think if it's homaging everything Marvel has done in the film verse for the past 25 years, let's go. But if we have killed a person, if ScarJo died in Endgame, don't bring her back.
Yeah.
If Robert Downey Jr. is killed, don't bring him back. There's no reason to. But if you want to have Chris Evans play the Human Torch, I ain't opposed to it. I mean, I think there's so much fun. And the difficult part that Marvel's had since Endgame is that there hasn't been this fluidity of storytelling, because there are movies that have nothing to do with multiverse. Well, this does, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like you mentioned, I don't want to see them come back from another world, because as much as I love the Guardians, I did not enjoy Gamora coming back.
Right.
That was not something I was very excited about. Right. Still love the movie. I think it did great. I think that's one of their top tier movies as well. But I think if you're going to take that route, just because you have multiverses and you can kind of cheat your way out to bringing them back if people don't like it, I don't like that idea.
I think if you do something story-wise that makes sense, I'm more forgivable. But yeah. to bring back that Tony doesn't make sense. Again, with Deadpool and Wolverine is not the Logan we know. Mm-hmm. It's a different Logan, and that's okay.
Right.
How about you? What do you feel?
I'm torn, because like there's that part of me that, of course, I want to see them, mm-hmm. because I have that connection. I have that love. Like that's my Marvel.
For sure.
If you think about like that's, you know, when you think about it, and you're like, oh, when you think about DC and you think about, oh, that's my Batman. That's my da 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 da.
Right.
Like that's my Marvel of these characters. So of course, I think there's always this tinge of like, give it to me.
You said it. Ooh, sizzle. Sizzle.
Of wanting to have that. So yeah. I don't know if I would necessarily hate it if it was done.
If it makes sense.
Yeah, if it makes sense. If it's done poetically.
Yeah.
Because, and I think about the fact that, like, you know, they killed Loki and then they brought Loki back.
So many times.
With it. Right. So, and I feel like they did. Loki's
died in the MCU.
Dude.
Maybe 15 times.
But they do. They consistently do his character justice.
Yes.
So I feel like as long as there's some level of justice that mm-hmm. is being done, I'm fine with it. But don't bring them back to bring them back because you're scared of numbers and are trying to recreate. Like right. that, I'm not here for.
Right. Let's move on. Endgame is technically the greatest hits album.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why we got okay.
That's why we got Captain America holding the hammer mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like we're getting the things we knew. Phase 4 and 5 has not given us anything to reference that we want to see in that movie. No. So don't do it.
What do you think? We're going to see Charlize.
Oh, yeah.
Guardians are done. I mean, they're not done.
Well, they're not done because remember at the end it says Star-Lord will return. Like, without the Guardians. And then there's a separate set of Guardians.
Yeah, but I don't want to see him without James.
I don't either. But Star-Lord I'm good with seeing. Star-Lord's going to end up in an Avengers movie, for sure.
Yeah. And then Spider-Man was still fit that last phase, right? So we still need to see his story, but that was the last phase. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, nothing. No. Well, I can think about Doctor Strange right now. Yeah.
Listen, the amount of heat that Black Widow took, especially from you... Yeah, we're not even going to talk about it.
As far as the Deadpool trailer, though, the thing that took me out was they're freaking apparently have a base inside of Ant-Man's dead
human body? Yes, bitch. No, let's go.
Not okay.
Do we think that's the one that Kang talked about killing? Because remember,
it makes sense. If they're still
he says, haven't I killed you?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Makes sense, yeah. Which that makes me wonder, because I thought it would be Hank Pym, just based on the old, apparently it's based on that old Man Logan comic, but, if you saw Paul Rudd, he's like, well, I haven't watched Ant-Man in a while either, and I don't plan to.
Yeah.
That was weird seeing it, though. Just seeing that and then trying to figure out who the villain is, which I've gotten the idea of who she is now, but at first I'm like, I don't know who this is.
If you don't want to know who it is, you can fast forward spoil in like 2 minutes. 3, 2, 1. It's Professor X's twin sister.
Oh. So, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why you can see her moving people. Ding, because, ding, yeah. Ding, ding, it's ding. Great. Boys are so silly.
Right. She sounds like an orchestra.
I'm in. Let's go. This character is going to be boss. And what's kind of exciting, because I do feel like there's a lot of like negativity towards Marvel and comics in general, it's nice going into one of these movies that feels good. Because every other movie, I feel like it's be like, God damn, I hope this is a good movie. God damn, I just want it to be good. And I want people to like it, like as much as I like it. And then it always gets poo-pooed on within the week. I need this movie.
Who are you talking to?
I do know who you're talking to.
You know what my favorite movie was last year? That got crapped immediately when it came out.
And I like that movie. That's the thing. Is like
that movie got hit on before it even came out.
Yeah, it's unfair. That movie.
That's the crazy part, because this time a year ago, that Flash film was getting nothing but praise from everybody at every single show. Then it came out and we're like, we don't like it.
Well, because then people were like, oh, did they just get paid to say that? And then an automatic negativity has to go with it, being like, oh, conspiracy. Look, I like the Flash movie. Yes, you had this, like, you put on the pedestal for it, and you've championed it the entire ride. And I love that. I've seen that movie 3 times in theater, and I liked it every single goddamn time.
Yeah, you did.
So there's no reason to look at it as a negative movie. If you don't like it because of a certain actor or whatever, that's on you. That's not the movie's fault, because the cameraman fucking did shit. Writers made shit. Michael Keaton made shit. It was all good shit. It's your fault.
Such good shit.
If you can't separate the art from the artist.
Yes. What else from the Deadpool trailer did y'all love, though? Do you love the portals? Do you love the mystery of what Wolverine is?
I don't have the picture up here, but he shared the picture of the portal, and you can see Professor X's sister, twin sister, or if that's the character, in the background watching them jump through. I will say, Marvel's been known to throw a loop. Like, they have purposely added characters or took away characters just to fuck with you so you don't know.
There's also a wheelchair behind her. When you're looking at photo enough, and you see her standing there, I don't know if she got up out of it, but I don't get that feeling from her character. So I wonder what that is as well.
What about you? What made you, like, obviously, I had a reaction. You can watch it, the schmuck's reaction. What was your takeaway? Because I was super excited to show it to you.
I loved it because I love both of those characters so much, and the actors that play those characters, I think that they knock it out of the park.
Right.
And I think that their bromance and their chemistry,
like in real life,
life is going to be palpable on screen, and I cannot wait. Like, that is what, in all honesty, makes me excited, because you can even see a little bit of it in the trailer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's go. Give me this.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, like, I just think that it's going to be a fun time.
5 times.
And I truly, truly, truly hope that it's that character, like, that Wolverine isn't going to be like in the third act. Like, I want.
Oh, I think he's
second.
The whole movie. Yeah. No, okay. I think it's definitely Wade's going through some shit. Let me get a guy. And this is like within the first 15, 20.
Okay.
And like, they get him. Because I have watched it so much. Not that I've been able to dissect every little thing. But it does definitely feel like, oh, I have this Wolverine. This Wolverine betrays me. I kill him. Bring him back. Oh, because this is a piece of shit. You need a real Wolverine. Or time travel to get it. Like, listen, I'm trying to have you help me. So then, like, they come back.
I hope that there's a scene, because they kind of tease it in the trailer, of, you know, where in Logan they buried him.
Yeah.
That Deadpool shows up. And he's like, oh,
like, he shows up. Oh, he's dead. I got to go to another one.
Like,
I mean, it looks like they're fighting the TVA right there. So that's very possible. Because there's like a wooded background where they're fighting.
Yeah.
But, I
think the opening of that movie is going to be the birthday scene.
Like, yeah,
it's just a little recap to catch us back up, because how long ago was Deadpool?
The birthday scene.
Yeah.
There's a birthday. You celebrate.
I don't think that's I think honestly the opening, because they don't sell it.
That's
he's a car salesman now.
Oh.
Like,
yeah, we got to do a recap because it's been a while since Deadpool 2, so they've got to catch us up, especially Marvel and his entering of Marvel and all that. Maybe he goes into the TVA as the opening, and then they do the Deadpool opening Marvel Comics thing.
Right. Oh, but,
that's going to be exciting.
This is the one thing I want. They won't do it. I want the movie to start with the fucking, like, Fox. And Deadpool, no. I am owned by a different company. Then we do the fucking full Disney. Do that. And then when the old association with Marvel, and then Deadpool, no, I am wanting the real shit. And then we get the dun 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 dun. I want that. I want him to take.
Where it's 15. Just Deadpool and the Marvel logo. Like
yes, and it's the all that. Yeah, it's all.
Take
just
note. Him. I hope you're listening.
It's a 30-minute intro before the movie even starts.
They're doing reshoots right now, so anything is possible.
You never know.
Now that being said, also this week it's come out that, and this could be just speculation, but a person said it, and then the creator has backed up what this person said. Apparently, this has the most jaw-dropping stinger, which is a post-credit of all time. Now, do you believe that the stinger is in fact that jaw-dropping as well? What's the most want cameo you want out of this?
Oh, I don't know. Like, that's a true, like, I don't know.
I will give mine. Rob, we'll get you in a second because I've had time to think about this. Mm-hmm. I want something because I'm a movie guy. What? Rob, you're a movie guy. One of the things about being a movie guy is that you're always on the internet looking at, like, oh, who's playing this? Who's playing that? Blah, 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 blah. I need Channing Tatum as Gambit.
Okay.
In this. Even if he's like in it, dies, whatever. Because two things. One, Channing Tatum is the king of cameos. He's the best at it.
Yeah.
There's not a better cameo guy.
Okay.
Two, you're talking, there was a point when Fox was like, we're making our cinematic universe, and they take a photo. Channing Tatum was cast as Gambit. They were going to film Gambit, and then Fox went under and got sold.
Gotcha.
And that's why that never happened.
Gotcha.
So it's time to let this guy have his flowers and play the character.
Okay. I like it. I don't hate it. My immediate thought was I want to see Spider-Man, because one, I know there's a Spider-Man movie coming.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's been wanting to see Deadpool and Spider-Man on screen based on the comics and stuff like that.
Right.
But I keep seeing that would be interesting. I keep seeing the rumors of Henry Cavill, especially as Magneto. Yes. And if we're doing an X-Men style movie, if he just shows up in the Stinger as Magneto, you're like, oh crap.
Yeah.
Where are we going from here? So could that's going to be my
Doom as the Stinger too.
That's true. Because that movie is coming. I was trying to think of what Marvel movies are coming. I couldn't think of any.
Yeah. Well, Spider-Man. Thunderbolts are coming, but I don't think movies that exist in the know are what's going to pop people.
Yeah, no.
I think fucking it's unbelievable. It's got to be something that you don't necessarily know. Yeah. Especially for something that's been filmed already.
Or even if it's like a rumor.
Right.
Of something possibly coming. And then that's the...
You mean Daniel Radcliffe Wolverine is just going to show up in the Stinger?
Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter as Wolverine has been mentioned as a thing.
Wow.
So just putting it out there. Say you, people?
Yeah.
Who do you want as the Stinger? What cameos do you want? Make a comment in this video or podcast, whatever you're fucking watching this as.
Facebook. We get a lot of Facebook.
Yeah. We're huge on Facebook now.
Facebook.
Follow us, Throw Me Podcast Network, which that name change is coming, just so everybody's aware. Let's get into a kind of wild thing I did not think would happen. The news that broke that I never saw coming. Frank Darabont is directing 2 episodes of Stranger Things Season 5. And the reason why that's kind of important, Frank Darabont is retired. Uh-huh. He retired from the movie making. He was the director of movies like The Mist. He has worked with Stephen King properties in the past. And Stranger Things is very much, oh, we homage Stephen King.
Right.
So the fact that he is willing to come out of retirement, that's big news.
That says a lot.
That's big news for the final season of Stranger Things. What say you? I know you don't know who this Darabont
but with what you were saying of things that he had done previously, gives me that idea. But here's what I will say. In order to bring anyone in general out of retirement, it's like one of those like, oh, this is once in a lifetime, or like something that really speaks to my soul and is worth giving my time to.
Right.
So for me, that gives so much hope, because at that point you have to have read the script.
Yep.
And you have to be like, I want in on this.
Right.
So I'm very curious about how that even went down to begin with, because like, how do you even be like, you know what? Let's see if he'll come out of retirement. Because I think that that's just bizarre anyways.
Right.
But there had to be some kind of conversation had, or some kind of like, you know, hey, this sounds cool. Okay, let me send you the script. See what you think.
Right.
I'd be very interested to, does it say which two episodes? Like what number?
The episode titles have been leaked. Mm-hmm. But there's no actual, like, oh, he's episode 4 and 5.
Okay.
He's coming. But when I hear two episodes, I feel like that has to be back to back.
Oh, yeah.
Has to be.
For the storytelling aspect
right,
of it.
Right. And yeah.
These episodes are going to be like movie long episodes again, too, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I've also heard that it's definitely in that base of 2 hour eps. Maybe even 2.5 each episode.
That's insane.
I've also heard that,
like, that
they
goes
could
so put, far beyond.
They won't do it.
Episodes,
but they've heard there's rumor that they could release the first part in November, but they may not, because if you've noticed with watching Stranger Things, if it deals with Halloween season, it came out during Halloween. If it dealt with 4th of July, it came out during summer. So if the shows themselves take place during a season, they're purposely leaving it for that. I love this. Like I said, he's worked on The Green Mile. He wrote the screenplay for that. So again, it's Stephen King. Rob, how about you? What do you feel about Mr. Frank Darabont? Who was, by the way, an original creator of the show The Walking Dead. And by creator, I mean brought to TV.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was looking into that because I wanted to see what his horror stuff was. Because Stranger Things can get a little horrific at little times.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to look into it. He's a writer on Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors, which I absolutely love. And when I think of Stranger Things, that fits fantastically.
You wrote The Fly 2?
Yeah. Let's see here. As far as directing, what did he direct? He directed The Green Mile, The Majestic, The Mist, Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank, which is that
he does
a
some
Steven?
Tear-jerking work. So.
The Green Mile is definitely a Stephen King story. Is Shawshank. Yep, based on Stephen King. So my man's Mr. Stephen King.
Yeah.
So this is coming to me feeling like, oh, this season is Stephen King.
I love it.
That's fine. I like it.
I love it. I'm here for it. Which I think would also play into that time, too.
Right.
Like, it makes sense.
Right. All right. So, what are your thoughts on Frank Darabont getting out of retirement and coming back to Stranger Things? That's exciting. I did plan for our big topic to be this Jerry Seinfeld thing, but I kind of feel like our Marvel combo really ramped up. So we may not need to. We may not need to, but really quick thoughts. Brooke, Jerry Seinfeld said that the movie business is dead.
Okay.
Do you agree with Jerry Seinfeld?
No.
Okay. Rob, do you agree that the movie business is dead?
Yeah, when I saw that quote, it immediately reminded me of when Gene Simmons said Rock is dead. Like, it's not dead. It's just not as popular as it was in a foregone time.
I think, listen,
I'll push back against that comment.
I think
it's more towards what Scorsese said about we don't have stars anymore. right? We don't have the actors that are big celebrities. Like, we don't. Tom Cruise is still around, sure. But who is this generation's Tom Cruise? Is it Timothy
Tom
Chalamet?
Cruise. He made $1 billion at Top Gun.
But here's what I will say to that entire thing. You're talking about that popularity isn't just like movie stars, even when you think about it. Like, this goes into the world that we live in now, where everything is on front street. Like, you are followed. It hits the news immediately. Like, there's no like, oh my God, so something happened. Let me get with my press, like the PR person, right, and see if we can deflect this. Like, there's no deflecting. It's already on before you're halfway down the street type thing.
Right.
So I think that there is a level that when you think of a star of back when Jerry Seinfeld was at his
prime. Right.
It was people, they were, everybody was untouchable in that sense. And I don't think that we have that as much now because of all of the social media.
That's fair.
Because of, I mean, TikTok people being quote unquote celebrities, Bravo people being Bravo celebrities. Right. Like, you're taking what we used to think and it is involving a lot more people now that it seems like we are over flooded, or what some people might seem as their celebrity, even with like video games or things like that. It may not just be everybody's. Like, you essentially used to have like, oh no, celebrities are only the ones that are in top tier movies. I mean, even to the sense of like, you talking about directors and it being, oh, well, it's based off of your Rotten Tomatoes score. Like, what?
Right.
So you have all these things and you're changing the game, you're changing the pace, you're changing all of it. And what he feels like is a quote unquote celebrity or a quote unquote movie isn't that same anymore. I mean, we literally just watch a movie on Shudder that was amazing. It didn't go to theater, did it?
Well, it had a limited
run. Okay, well, it wasn't
limited,
but that's what I'm
edition.
Saying. Like, so,
the same with Godzilla last year. Limited run.
Oh,
yes. I mean, you're changing the game of what people want. I mean, because most people are fully happy of watching their movie at home. I mean, nowadays TV screens are how freaking big? Like, there's just so much that play into
it. It's not that it's dead. It evolved.
Yes.
The evolution of the movie business.
And he did not evolve with the evolution.
And also,
I think that's the problem.
And I thought this after the fact. I don't think I want to hear movie business feelings from a guy that's not in the movie business. He's a comedian. He's never wanted to do movies. Like, he was in the B movie. That's what he did. And coming to find out, even after I did that Throw Me update, which you can check out on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the reason why his new Netflix movie, which is dropping on Friday, and partly why he's talking about it, is he wrote this during COVID, during downtime, so he couldn't go on tour. So he did this whole script because he was bored. He made this movie because he was bored. So again, it's a different level, like you've been saying. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, not every movie's going to go to theater and make $200 million anymore, but that one movie will be on Netflix or transfer to fucking Max or get shot onto Peacock. And like, all these things, this movie can have life for 10 years. But yes, it's not going to have that theatrical run anymore.
Because, you know, some people go to the movie 3 times and then never watch the movie again.
Yeah, they go to the movie. They're like, I like this. I'm never going to go again.
Yeah. Yeah, talking about you, Rob.
I kind of love that he was looking at you.
I know.
I'm an actor.
All right. Let's move on to Reality Bites. Hit the music!
Not
fun.
Not fun. Summer should be fun. Mena, not fun.
And you sew and you pretend to do things.
What's wrong with my sewing?
Nothing, baby. Nothing.
No. All right.
Can I ask a question? Was Minnie justified to be yelled at for not being fun?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So the problem is that show is entirely based on a group of friends renting a house
and partying. Oh.
And there's a point where all the partiers, like her, they have aged kind of out of partying. And that's why they keep bringing people in and out to focus on that party, because that's why people came to the dance. So now these older people don't want to party no more, but keep coming.
Kyle always wants to party.
Kyle just wants to party. Let my man party!
Let him party.
Just let him party.
Okay. Also, he owns an alcohol beverage company. Do you think he doesn't party?
Right. Okay, so a few things have happened this week.
Give it to me.
Mary from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Apparently, while filming, called Lisa, who's another housewife on the show.
Okay.
She called Lisa's son the R word, the slur for mentally disabled.
I thought rad.
Okay. It has really kind of shook a lot of things. Yeah. And then Mary came out and like did a post or whatever being like, wait till you hear the full story. No, ma'am, there is no full story. I don't care what happened. That's not acceptable.
Don't use the hard R.
No. And then rumors around Bethany, who we kind of talked about a little bit. She was from Skinny Girl, Margarita.
Yes, the crazy bro. Yep. Now she's crazy. Yes.
Bethany and Paul, which is her fiance, may have split.
Oh.
She is not wearing her ring anymore. And she's actually talking about, I think it is finally finalized, of the fact that, I think you watched this with me, or you may have watched me watch a few episodes.
She was watching TV and I was like this.
No, like
totally
walked in and then walked out when she got married.
Oh, okay.
To Jason. They were married for like 2 years and then they had a 10-year divorce. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Longer. Like,
yeah, it's been very
tumultuous. They had a silver anniversary on the divorce.
Yeah.
I thought Johnny Depp never heard took a long time.
Oh, jeez. And then in other news, Joe Bradley from
that bitch, Joe Bradley.
Southern
Hospitality.
Yes, thank you.
There it is. I know these shows.
I know.
The actual name of a show is Southern
Hospitality. Southern Hospitality.
It's in South Carolina.
It's in South Carolina, baby. Wow.
It's a spinoff of Southern Charm.
Joe Bradley and Natty are supposedly dating.
Matt.
Sonia is auctioning off her home.
Okay.
Dorinda. Okay. Real Housewives of New York, or she was on it. She was the one that you like her. Anyways, she might be on Traitors 3.
Oh, boy. Sign me up for Traitors.
I know.
Sign me up for Traitors.
What I really want to talk about this episode this past week of Summer House. Summer should be fun. Carl is talking to his mom and stepdad about everything kind of going on with Lindsay. And everything that kind of happened. And his dad kind of was like, listen, I would not marry you two.
Yeah.
Is
he a preacher?
Mm-hmm, I would not feel comfortable. I would not do it. Blah, blah, blah. And then Lindsay was on Watch What Happens Live afterwards. And she was just kind of like,
fuck that preacher.
Yeah, I mean, still, here's what I will say.
Throughout all of this, Carl
has said, while Lindsay has done things, I have also not made it better. Right? Like,
I can believe it.
I was wrong, too. But there were things that she was saying and doing, like questioning his sobriety.
Right.
Which is a big deal for him.
Right.
Because it's so new. And even coming out and being like, I understand that I was sober to begin with him, to support him, but I never signed on for lifelong sobriety. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. You did not sign up for that. But I also feel like he proposed to you when you were
in that
realm of not always sober, but light drinking. Like you were not engaged, Lindsay. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
because hard. She gets very, very toxic when she drinks.
So, and that's...
And she just... My issue is on Watch What Happens Live, she takes zero accountability for anything. She's like, no, I'm a hard worker. Like, I'm not just going to walk away. That is fine, and I understand that. But at that point, you two are not married yet. So if you're already having some very toxic and turmoil situations, it may not work out. And in all reality... All he asked for initially, which I cannot wait to watch, is for it to be postponed, asking just for a little bit more time to settle everything down before we decide to get married. And she was like, nope, all or nothing. So it's nothing.
So,
and
probably the better choice there, I guess.
So
if you're giving an ultimatum.
Yeah.
But here's my big takeaway of it. And because, again, it is a Bravo show. Mm-hmm. It is Bravo Liberty. This isn't real life where people deal with things on the reg.
Right.
I wonder if Lindsay thought that there would be this Ariana flip where they would go against Carl and it could sky
her. Well, it started that way.
But that's the thing, is like the issue coming out of this is Carl, who is sober, and you can see it on the show where she is just inebriated to all get out, and she feels kind of bad or threatened or whatever about whatever scenario with him. And she always runs to, why are you drunk?
Right? Yeah.
Because I think ultimately she did want to be that way. Mm-hmm. And then she, as a regular person, was just like, okay, I'm going to be free-spirited. But the problem is that she's holding something inside and blaming him for it. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of the unsettling
part. And then in the
aftermath,
not taking any accountability. And I think that's it. Listen, nobody is perfect.
No
one is perfect.
No.
Everybody makes mistakes.
No.
But it's what you do in the aftermath to... What are you learning from it? How are you growing? How are you trying to be better? Because if you're just doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, I'm getting off this goddamn Ferris wheel. Like, I'm not, or hamster wheel, whatever you want to fucking say, like, I'm getting off. Like, I'm not going to be on this if you have no desire to grow. Right. And her biggest thing with him is that he doesn't have a job. And
while he makes 70 grand a year, by the way.
Right.
That's what, like, he makes 70 grand a year.
With all of his, like, doing the show and doing all, like, the
promotions
and promotions
like
and, like, brand things like
it's
that.
It's a mess. It's
so
a
don't sit
mess.
Here. And I get, like, no, he didn't have that steady, quote-unquote, job. But every time he tried to talk to you on air, I can't even imagine what you were, like, not on air. Because I've seen so many times where you say certain code words to tell people to knock it off because you don't want to have the conversation on camera.
Right.
So... I just don't have the energy for that. Sorry, I went full in, but that's why I left it. That's why I left it as my last bit. And if you take anything away from it, summer should be fun.
What are your feelings of Summer House?
I have nightmares, all nightmares.
Just full of nightmares.
I have something to add to Reality Bites.
Oh, give it to me.
Lisa Vanderpump's one of your people, right?
Yes.
She has joined season 2 of Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars. Those two are going to be going up against each other.
What?
Yep. You're
going to face off?
Face off.
That's kind of great. Face off.
Mm-hmm. And they're both English.
Yeah. God. And one of them's hot. And one of them's Lisa Vanderpump.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to our final section of the day, which is a little thing called Suplex and Heel.
I'm the tribal chief around here. Yeah, you see me. The tribal chief. That's right.
I'm old and I'm fucking tired. I work with fucking chicks.
Jack's now on the apron.
Oh, no. Jack's
not there, Tom. Alana's still got a fight to win. Jack's through the table.
My hole. hole. My hole indeed.
So Naya's come a long way since then.
Yeah, she's been drafted, and we'll get into that in a little bit. We're going to start off with this past week was the pay-per-view I was advertising last week, AEW Dynasty. Mm-hmm. The AEW Championship did trade hands. Swerve Strickland finally won that world title and is now the first AEW African-American champion of all time. Woo. So good for him, Swerve. The show was filled with a lot of things going on. The ladder match for the tag team championships, FTR versus Young Bucks. Young Bucks won. Toni Storm defended her women's title and retained gladly. But the big thing that came out of it, and I talked about it, was the match between Bryan Danielson mm-hmm. versus Will Ospreay. And I shit you not, I mean this wholeheartedly, could be one of the top three matches I've ever seen in my life. It was exactly what I wanted. They told a story. They did high action. They did groundwork. Both men are phenomenal athletes at the prime of their lives. And if you ever get a chance to watch this match, I highly suggest it. I think just like every AEW pay-per-view, I always feel this way. They start too late. They go too long. But overall, every match is watchable and fun. But this one is the cherry you should check out. So I give AEW Dynasty, I will give it a 7.58. Like 7.528.
Oh, okay.
On Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson alone. Right. Because of that match.
If you took out that match, would it be that high?
If I took it out, I would give it a 7.5. Because all the matches are serviceable. Okay. I think they're good. But there's just something about this. And you could tell the crowd was waiting for it all night. Because it was almost like the crowd said, we're going to save our energy for this one match, because that entire match, they are not down. They are chanting everything. Like, please don't die. This is awesome. We don't deserve this. Holy shit.
It was a really good
this.
Match.
Yeah. Like, so much so, she watched some of it, but then, like, I even said, you got to watch this ending because it is such a storytelling kind of thing with Brian and what we've grown to know about Brian.
Right.
And it's carried on through the week because even when Will Ospreay's in a match, a reference to it mm-hmm. happens in the match and he's contemplating shit. I mean, like, storytelling at its finest from wrestlers that know what they're doing. It's great. It's great. Monday Night Raw, like we saw last week, we'll see here, Rhea Ripley, a couple of weeks ago, had to give away that title, and they had a battle royal to crown a new women's world champion. Mm-hmm. And that women's world champion is who, Rob?
The man, Becky Lynch, in a shocker.
I was shocked. I could have put... one of the few things that I would have paid money and bet on was that Liv Morgan was going to...
That for the storytelling aspect of it.
But she did not.
There's still some story with Liv and Becky, though, because Becky's mm-hmm. always kind of been the one that's been in the way of Liv getting back there. So they'll build out that story and get it closer to Rhea coming back. Is what I would assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus they've got a cover for Rhea leaving, so obviously you get the next biggest women's star.
So one of the like rumor things that they're going to do is like
rumor
Liv Morgan.
Has it.
Boom boom. Rumor has it. Boom boom. Is that Liv's going to try to fuck Dominic while Rhea's gone. Yeah, I said fucked up. Like they're going to film it and everything. It's going to be great. But their goal is to
have
this.
What does she think
this...
she is, Paige?
Yay!
Mine's a little more outdated. I was going to say Lita. But,
but it is kind of fun to be like, oh, I took you out. I'm going to take your man before you even come back. I'm the new judgment whore. Is that what she would call herself? I don't
whore?
Know. I don't know what Liv Morgan would call herself.
Whore?
A judgment whore?
She loves to tell people to watch her, so hey. It works.
No wonder she's filming.
Yeah. But I'm into that little storyline. I'm into it.
Yeah. Okay.
So then we get SmackDown. The WWE draft is going on. And I love the logo. The logo's like the WWE symbol, but like half's red, half's blue. Mm-hmm. And then the NXT gold is the swoosh, as I would call it. I love it. So what do we got draft-wise?
No, overall, I loved the presentation. I did not like the execution because a lot of people did not change brands. It was pretty much.
I thought the fucking same. I was like watching it, being like, okay, you're just announcing the same people.
Yeah. Yeah, they were well. Champions for the first year weren't up for draft, so that was the big kind of like, okay, we're not getting any shocks there. So what are we going to do? And they kind of failed. The big news was Carmelo got pulled up, so Carmelo's coming up from NXT as expected.
It was only and he even time. Wrestled that night against he Cody.
Cody had a really good match. Weird spot that I still don't know if they meant to do on purpose or they were trying to hit each other. But hey, they both did a springboard. Like he did, and he ran across, Carmelo ran across the ring and jumped backwards off the rope. And Cody was jumping to do a Cody cutter. And Cody ended up jumping over Carmelo and landed on his shoulder. So we're trying to see if Cody's okay too. But
he fucking better be.
Yeah, especially after he just got the title. So Carmelo's up. Yeah. Braun Breaker moves from SmackDown to Raw, which I like. I like the fact they're keeping those two away from each other because those two are obviously the big future of the company. Right.
That's a WrestleMania main event possibly.
Yes. Yeah. The Bloodline, well, they waited till round three. The Bloodline didn't get drafted till round three. Yeah. Roman took himself out of the draft. Paul Heyman announced that Roman took himself out of the draft so other people could have a chance, apparently. And then
you wrestle three times a year. How are we drafting you?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want you on my team. You show up twice.
Right. Other than that, the only other surprise was Kiana James comes up from NXT as well. So we had two NXT stars come up.
Okay, so my big question for you on this, is it because we're holding back for Raw? Because I feel as much as SmackDown is, I like SmackDown. SmackDown's always been my show since its conception. Mm-hmm. Raw's the flagship. They always they promote like Raw, especially with Raw going to Netflix in January. Yes. I feel like they're saving the big turns for this week, Monday.
Yeah, plus Monday's a three-hour show, so you get more time to fill and more. It has more draft picks on the show. And they're also doing the after-the-show draft. So after SmackDown, we had Cedric the Alexander get drafted to SmackDown after he got destroyed.
I got drafted offline.
Yeah, Baron Corbin is back on the main roster after being on NXT for a while. So Corbin
being drafted to World War II was a benefit. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh!
What did I say? It was a better fucking... whatever. I will say this about the draft, because I didn't watch it completely. I just watched all the draft picks. What I did enjoy, they both had war rooms, which I thought was fucking hysterical.
That was ridiculous.
But then guest stars were doing announcements. Mm-hmm. Like the Dudleys did it, Tori Wilson, and was that Michelle McCool?
That was Michelle McCool, yep.
Like, I like that we did that. So let's keep going with that idea.
I assume it's the same war room. I don't know why it would change.
They just said, you leave now.
No, it was on opposite ends.
In the same
camera. Ready and switch. Camera.
Even the cameraman.
Ready and switch. Camera.
No, two cameramen. They just fucking kept turning. They just kept turning. Right? We have to get live reactions.
Turn. Awesome. Turn around.
All right, so who do you want to see? Who do you want to see in the draft? The WWE draft, not World War II draft.
Or NFL. That happened too.
That happened too. And they had a way bigger show up. Thanks for watching Thrill Me Weekly. We love doing this. We will see you next week for the weekly, but Tuesdays, Thursdays, Thrill Me Update. And we'll probably have some updates on subjects that we talked about today. You know what I mean?
I know. You know what? One of the subjects I think Tuesday is going to be?
What?
Universal releases their video tomorrow.
Universal is finally announcing this son of a bitch summer project they have. Yeah. That's what it's called. Summer,
what a
summer
name.
Bitch project.
What a name.
Not only that,
S-O-P-S-P.
We will talk about it. Like, I will have the video, be like, hey, this is what they did. What do you think? But then you can come that night. The Haunters Podcast, because we are going to talk about just a little bit, because I feel like there's some busters that ghosts do a thing, so it fucking translates.
You gotta be sliming me.
Not yet.
You know what's funny is I watched Iconic videos, and you sounded just like Billy Kay just then when you said that. So
she does a really good, you gotta be joking me.
Yes.
That's what she was doing. Yeah. That's what she was doing. Look at you, turkey. Oh! All right. Thanks for watching Throw Me Weekly. Rob, thanks for coming on. Check him out on the Review It Rob show every Monday. Check Brooke out here on Throw Me Weekly and Haunters Tuesday. Check me out on every other show on this network not named Wonderful. All right. Bye.
That's a wrap!